Hello, welcome to the Living Open podcast for mystics and seekers. I'm your host, Erin. I'm a Philly-based witch and healing artist, and this is the Aries Season Medicine episode of the show. So much has changed since I recorded the intro for the last podcast episode last week, and I just want to say, however you're handling this time, whether it's just trying to survive, numbing out, feeling a lot, sleeping a lot, or anything else is perfect and right and okay. I don't believe there is any right way. And on this show and in my work, I will not be and do not police what you're allowed to feel or think about this time. And I also won't be giving you some kind of spiritual explanation for coronavirus or what it means or anything like that, because while I think that people are doing a beautiful job finding silver linings, like oceans or rivers or something clearing up, like that's beautiful, but the truth is that I don't believe that everything happens for a reason, and I don't know that there is any type of greater meaning to this. Perhaps there is, perhaps there isn't. I think if there's something that makes sense to you right now, some meaning that feels good to you personally, that you want to rest on and cling to and believe in, that's absolutely perfect. I think it's different for all of us. And so those who are on the front lines, healthcare workers and grocery store workers and folks who are putting their lives at risk to save us all and fight this virus, my heart is really, really with you. My greatest hope for this crisis is that, first of all, that we are all healthy and safe, and second of all, that it causes the crumble of the harmful and oppressive systems that we live under and allows us to collectively create something new and supportive for all humans. In my newsletter last week, I shared some practices that I've been leaning on that have felt really nourishing for me, and I just wanted to share them here too, in case you're looking for in case you're looking for some inspiration or something to add to your practice or just need some ideas. So I'm just going to run through the list. Painting intuitive protection symbols, phrases, affirmations of love for self and for all. Working with the mantra, may all beings be healthy, may all beings be safe, may all beings be free from harm. Journaling my fears and anxieties, which feel a lot less scary when they're on the page than when they're just swimming around in my head, repeating themselves over and over again. Orgasms for pleasure, orgasms to move fear and anxiety out of my body. Really solid morning and evening rituals. So you all know I'm obsessed with having a morning practice, but over the past few weeks, I've really developed supportive evening rituals too, which I'm really glad that I have now that we're in this crisis. I've been doing gentle stretching and yoga, journaling, and falling asleep to a meditation before bed, which I'm really, really enjoying. If you have the free version of Headspace there, or you want to get it, there are a couple of sleep meditations there. They also have some really supportive resources. They put out this whole meditations for a crisis or practices for a crisis section that's really lovely. And I've also been doing some sleep meditations on YouTube, so lots of opportunities to work with those for free. I've been reading Pema Chodron's book, Comfortable with Uncertainty. If you want to get that, you could check your library. You might be able to get it as an ebook there right now. I'm not sure about where you all live, but in Philly, the library is not, I mean, it's totally closed, but you might be able to still download as ebook. I think you can do that for the Philly library right now. So laughter as well. Remembering that joy and humor and pleasure can coexist with fear and anxiety and pain. That we can still have these pockets of joy. Like last night, for example, after I led class with my friend and collaborator, and just an incredible human, Luna, online. I just spent the rest of the night with my two amazing roommates, and we just ate pudding, and they made this delicious vegan pudding out of silken tofu, so we ate this pudding, and we smoked together, and we just laughed, and we just totally dissociated from what's going on, and we just enjoyed ourselves for a couple of hours. And I think that's one of the other practices, you know, we don't always have to be present when there's a disaster. We don't always have to be present. Like, it's okay. I don't think it is a good thing, actually, for us to all be present all of the time in something like this. Like, sometimes we need TV or shows or just things that make us forget for a really brief period of time. And maybe that's only a moment. You know, maybe that's just a moment of laughter where you get to forget what's going on and then we're right back in it. But I think any of those practices, like I've also been watching Insecure on HBO, which I've somehow never seen before, and that's just been fun. You know, it's just been nice. What else? So breath work, of course. I've been doing breath work every single day, and I've been doing long practice every day too. It really is bringing me back to center and helping me access my creativity and feel my heart, and it's been moving a lot of fear and anxiety for me so I can just soften and open and trust. And that's been really important because so much fear and anxiety is building in my body every day, and so I am really, really needing to move it. Moving my body, mostly with dance and some yoga and stretching and daydreaming and journaling about a new world where these oppressive structures have crumbled. A new world beyond capitalism, without racism, without patriarchy. That might feel supportive for you too. I think hope and dreaming is really powerful at this time. So these are just some practices for me. Your practices might be completely different. That's perfect. But either way, I think creating a toolkit of practices to support you would be really helpful. So you can reach for them when you forget, when you feel anxious, when you feel afraid or alone. So you might like to just make a list, a little list of things. I also have tons of self-healing practices to support you always on my Patreon. And like I said, with breathwork, I've been really leaning deeply on my practice because I have to. Like, I can't get through the day if I don't. And I certainly can't hold space for you, for breathwork, for Reiki. I can't do any of that if I don't have that foundation. And that's not to say, like, I have to be totally okay to hold space. I don't believe that's true at all. But it is, like, I have to have that grounded center so that I can hold that space, and that's what my practice is really helping me with right now. And I think this is kind of like, you know, what we train for. Like, the practice is for when times are difficult, when times are in crisis. It's not just for when things are easy. These things are powerful, and they're here for us. So you can check out my Patreon if you'd like to explore some of these practices to help you heal yourself. There's a whole archive of content there, including meditations, breathwork meditations and practices, rituals, spells, journaling prompts, tarot spreads, and more to help you work with the phases of the moon, to help you on your healing journey. And if you join this week, you'll also be getting a recording of a full-length breathwork practice for the dark moon that I did last year. I'm going to be sharing that with anyone who joins the Patreon this week, as well as all of those who have already been there. It's sliding scale $2 to $22 a month, and it's my way of creating accessibility for you. And if $2 is still too much, I do have a free breathwork meditation on my site that you can do every day. It will teach you the breathwork if you want to learn it, and you can learn that and create your own practice from that. So I just want to take a moment to give some gratitude to our new Patreon supporters, Michelle, America, Meg, Cairns, Haley, and Vivian. Thank you for joining the community. I love you. I'm grateful. And thank you all who have already been on Patreon with me. I'm so grateful. And This is the Aries Season Medicine blog, but I actually wanted to start, now that I've talked for like who knows how long, but I wanted to start by reading you a prayer from Pixie Lighthorse's book, Prayers of Honoring Grief. It's called Honoring Loss of Control. And I also wanted to read an essay or two from Comfortable with Uncertainty, the book that I mentioned, by Pima Chodron. So if you want to just take a couple of deep breaths, if you're at home, you could try laying down, closing your eyes, and just listening. But wherever you are, just letting these words wash over you, just letting yourself receive them. And to offer some context. I think regardless of what's going on with us, we are all in a situation where we don't have control, right? And things are very uncertain. We don't have control over the government response. We don't have control over the existence of this virus. We don't know what's going to happen. We can only do the best that we can personally in our lives and see what happens. So it's uncertain and we don't have control, which is why I'm bringing up these themes and why I wanted to offer some support around these things. So this prayer is Honoring Loss of Control by Pixie Lighthorse. Thank you for this exhausting day of pure chaos. May I seek to loosen my stranglehold on what I cannot ultimately keep together, so that deeper understanding of what is at work can flow in. May I dedicate myself to becoming more at ease with all that is flowering in directions I cannot stop. Help me to see where I can be useful and focus my energies there. Reinforce my awareness that I can do my part for evolvement rather than striving unceasingly for perfection. Help me see control as the illusion of containing what is not mine to hold. Let me fall apart when I need to, and make room for others to splinter into smithereens too. Let there be a return to wholeness that offers more than can be found in a tight, anxious cluster. Let me make space for more possibilities to unfold, not just the one I hope for. Help me to see where I habitually strive for control but don't actually want to be in charge. Let the sword I carry be swung only at false perceptions. Open me to the real experience of life, free from the need to sweep up around it obsessively. Help me take care of the cluttered rooms in my mind, flushing out the buildup of reflexive patterns that no longer serve me. Help me cope with unpredictable circumstances and environments, knowing that I will find the tools to buffer my hyper-responsiveness. Help me learn to let go. Guide my nerves to sanctuary when I quicken to overreact. Inspire me to delight in emancipation from the confinement of my ideologies of supreme exactness. Unshackle me from rigid expectations and smooth my brow with the hush of my appreciation of you. So let's take a deep breath in together, in through the nose, into the belly. Exhaling out of the mouth. Comfortable with Uncertainty by Pima Chodron. This is the third essay. Those who train wholeheartedly in awakening bodhicitta are called bodhisattvas or warriors. Not warriors who kill, but warriors of non-aggression who hear the cries of the world. Warrior bodhisattvas enter challenging situations in order to alleviate suffering. They are willing to cut through personal reactivity and self-deception. They are dedicated to uncovering the basic, undistorted energy of bodhicitta, which is a Sanskrit word that means noble or awakened heart. A warrior accepts that we can never know what will happen to us next, We can try to control the uncontrollable by looking for security and predictability, always hoping to be comfortable and safe. But the truth is, we can never avoid uncertainty. This not knowing is part of the adventure. It's also what makes us afraid. Wherever we are, we can train as a warrior. Our tools are sitting meditation, Tonglen, slogan practice, and cultivating the four limitless qualities of loving kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity. With the help of these practices, we will find the tenderness of bodhicitta in sorrow and in gratitude, behind the hardness of rage and in the shakiness of fear. In loneliness, as well as in kindness, we can uncover the soft spot of basic goodness. But bodhicitta training offers no promise of happy endings. Rather, this I who wants to find security, who wants something to hold on to, will finally learn to grow up. If we find ourselves in doubt that we're up to being a warrior in training, we can contemplate this question. Do I prefer to grow up and relate to life directly, or do I choose to live and die in fear? Let's take another deep breath together. This essay I chose because it is quite confronting, particularly that last question, or I found it to be anyways, but I think it's really powerful, and it was what I needed to hear and what I needed to read. And you know, it's funny, I requested this book from the library months ago, and of course it came in a week or two ago, exactly when I need it. So let's transition now. I'm going to talk a bit about the energy of Aries, and I'm going to pull a couple of cards for a collective reading. So this is a reading for all of us. We are not separate from the collective. I'm not separate from the collective. We are the collective. And so this reading is intended to be for all of us and connect with the energy of what's here right now. So, Aries. Aries is our cardinal fire sign, and it begins the astrological wheel of the year. It begins the spring equinox. Aries energy is like a match being lit. It brings with it fire and passion and creativity. It's the energy of a warrior and a pioneer. And I think the question is, you know, what will you be a warrior for? Where are you ready to lead the way for us all? This sign really invites us to tap into our bravery and courage. And I think we need it now more than ever, yeah? Tapping into our bravery and courage to go it alone, to go forward in the direction of the life that's calling us. I have an Aries moon, and I can tell you that Aries is very independent and can be very impulsive. But during Aries season, we're all asked to channel our passions and our creativity, our fire, in healthy ways, to tap into this inner fire, this inner flame, and to burst through whatever self-imposed limitations we've created to step into the new. And of course, all signs have a shadow energy, a shadow expression, and Aries shadow can be aggressive, it can be domineering, it can even be violent, this Mars rulership. But I think that Aries can teach us a lot about working with anger and frustration in healthy ways, about being an autonomous individual and still being in relationship with others, about honoring the self and finding balance. This is the Aries-Libra polarity. So in Western astrology, Aries is ruled by Mars, and in esoteric astrology, Aries is ruled by Mercury. So Mercury can tell us what's possible when we work with Aries from a really soul-centered level, and Mars can tell us a bit about Aries in more of a day-to-day way. So the fiery energy of Mars, this planet of drive and assertion and aspiration, is sort of like the gas pedal of your birth chart. It's what moves you forward. So it's what lends Aries this energy of the warrior. It's what drives Aries to burst through. And I think that Mercury, as the esoteric ruler of Aries, which is an air planet very much associated with the mind, and the Magician card in the tarot, shows us that the creativity of Aries can become like new and exciting and bold ideas that we share with the world that we bring forth. So in the tarot, Aries is associated with the Emperor, with the Tower, with the Knight of Wands, to me, with the Magician as well, which is ruled by Mercury. And I'm not going to get into each of these cards specifically, but what I would say is take out these cards this season and meditate with them. Put them on your altar. Ask the Emperor what it's here to teach you. Ask the Tower what it's here to clear. Ask the Knight of Wands how to let your fire move you. So let's get into our cards. The message for the collective for the season, I pulled a tarot card as well as an oracle card from the Amenti Oracle, and the Amenti Oracle card is, I do the best I can. I really appreciated seeing this, and it felt really, really right. It just feels like it's speaking to give yourself grace, you know, give yourself compassion. Remembering that you are doing the best that you can. If you're really struggling right now, if you can't get out of bed, if you are feeling so much fear, if you're depressed, if you're anxious, I mean, many of us are out of work or we have much less work and we might not know how we're going to be able to pay our bills. None of that changes by not giving ourselves compassion, by being harsh with ourselves, by being mean to ourselves or beating ourselves up. So that just feels like an important reminder. And can we give that grace to other people too? I see a lot of judgment going around on social media and in my personal life. And can we just zoom out and remember that we're all humans who are trying to get our own needs met, and we're all doing the best that we can. Generally, I believe that. And so can we see with the eyes of compassion and the eyes of love for everyone, and that includes us too, rather than the eyes of judgment, rather than lashing out, you know, with the anger, the fear, the pain that we feel inside and projecting it, channeling it in that way. And the tarot card that I have is the Five of Cups reversed. And when I pulled this, I thought, of course, of course this is the card. The message for the collective this season is to be with the grief, to honor the loss. I think we have all lost things. We are all losing things, and some of us perhaps more than others, but we have the loss of dreams, significant life events are perhaps put on hold or shifted, the loss of money, the loss of work, the loss of beloved people in our lives. There is just so much loss to grieve, and the loss of other humans in the world. Even if we haven't lost someone personally, we can feel the pain that we are all feeling as this virus sweeps around the world and takes lives. The message is that our grief is not weakness. Our grief is medicine. Our grief is healing. Our grief can take us collectively into action. Our grief is here to be felt, and we can't bypass the part of this that is about feeling pain. We can't bypass the grief. Even if we're telling ourselves that we don't deserve to grieve or feel sad right now, we are all feeling it. We all have much to grieve. So give yourself that permission. Give yourself that permission. Maybe that becomes part of your daily practice, permission to grieve, and you just hold that space for yourself to feel it. Honoring and allowing, not even trying to release or move through, but this is that space. This is that time for feeling the pain of the spilled cups. And we know it won't be like this forever. We hope that some good somehow will come of it. Those are the upright cups. And that's true. But it's okay if you can't see that, if you can't feel that, if you can't focus on that right now. This is part of the process. What we're being asked to release is the Queen of Pentacles. So we're releasing the part of us that is over-identified with our work and what we do in the world. We're coming back to basics of we are worthy of care and love because we are human and that's it. Because we are beings that are alive, that's it. We can even start to see this season where our ego has been really tied up in our work. Where our ego has asked us to over-identify, where our ego has told us that we are what we do. And if we do something that we feel like is important or matters or is socially valued, then we matter and we're important. So we're untangling those threads and those stories to come back to basics, the basics of what we already know, of what we have always known, that we are all worthy. That we are not worthy because of anything, and that all humans everywhere are the same. You might like to spend some time journaling with this theme. You might like to ask yourself questions like, what does my ego have to say about my work? You might ask yourself, how do I view work in the world? And what's the hierarchy of work that I feel exists? You know, where have I internalized capitalism and created this story that some work is more important than other work? That some work is to be looked down upon, and so are the people that do it. I'm sure none of us listening to this show consciously believe that, but we are in capitalism. You know, we can't get through it, I don't think, without internalizing some of it, turning it on ourselves, turning it on others. So can we take this opportunity to untangle those threads? To see some of where we have internalized this and get it out of us, to do some reprogramming back to what we know is really true. The self-care for the season. I've got the Four of Wands. This is really interesting. Whenever I see this card is about pleasure to me. And so can you access a little bit of pleasure? Can you let that be care for you? And I know, I mean, it might seem like it's a huge privilege to be able to even think about pleasure right now. And I think that's probably true. But I also think that we have such narrow definitions of pleasure in a way that makes that true, and that if we can tune into, it's like changing to a different radio station, right? If we can tune into this different radio station where we understand that pleasure can be in so much, it can be in just a moment of touching a soft piece of fabric or in actually tasting your sip of water or... water is probably a bad example. I don't know. Does anyone else love the taste of water? I don't know. Or actually tasting your sip of coffee, or, you know, really seeing the sunset. Or even if it's just like when you're walking to your work, looking up and seeing that there are pink clouds in the sky. Like, pleasure is so expansive. And I think it's how we survive. Not just now, but always. I think pleasure to me is the experience of really feeling the goodness of what it feels like to be alive. And I think that's what keeps us here. Like, that's what makes this experience so human. Like, we have bodies. We have bodies. And those bodies can open up so much pleasure for us through taste and touch and smell and sight and hearing. If we're available, if we tune in, if we commit to noticing. So perhaps exploring what pleasure means to you, how you can connect with pleasure, even in the tiniest, tiniest of ways this season. So that's all I have for the reading. I just wanted to pull a couple of cards. It felt right to do it this way, and so I'll share the major moon phases of the season. Tomorrow we have a new moon in Aries. On April 1st, a first quarter moon in Cancer. On April 7th, a full moon in Libra. And April 14th, a last quarter moon in Capricorn. And then the sun enters Taurus on April 19th. So wherever you are, whatever is going on with you, I'm thinking of you. You're part of this community. You're in my heart. I'm sending you lots of love. I'll be back on Monday with another episode. So stay in touch, please, on Instagram at ERYNJ_ and Patreon. Until then.